Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our teaching series centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on Bob's book of the same title. Copies of both the book and the study guide are available at our website, basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link right there on the homepage, top of the page, and you'll find both of them there. But for right now, it's time to get underway with this weekend study or this Friday edition of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here's my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're on page 73 of our study guide. We're in chapter 10, so we're moving at a snail's pace, but I tell you, this is just such good information, good truth. We need to spend some time and really get this settled in our own minds.
Lots of meat on these bones.
Yes, yes, indeed. So we're going to talk about how to get it settled in our hearts and minds with a couple of passages today. You know, out there in the world, Bob, there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of tensions, and leaders are trying to encourage everybody to calm, to experience some calm, and just bring all those tensions to a place of rest. Yeah. Well, the same is true inside of our souls. Most of us go through life, and we're not at rest. We're just agitated. We're on edge. We're restless. We experience all sorts of things, and we cry out day in and day out, Lord, just give me some peace. Lord, just give me a sense of rest. Just help me take a breath.
Yeah.
Well, there's a way to do that, and the way to do that is to believe what Christ Jesus has done for you. So last week we looked at a word, a big old theological word called propitiation.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, we see it a couple of times in the New Testament. We see it in Romans chapter 3 that God put forth Jesus as the propitiation for our sins. Well, it's not a word that we use in everyday language. I guarantee you, very few of you have ever used that word. I know I never had used it until I really saw it in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But it's a word that means satisfied. God is satisfied with the work of Jesus on our behalf. So concerning your sins, concerning the punishment for your sins, Jesus offered himself up as that sacrifice, and God the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we have to ask this question, and if God the Father is satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ, are you? And if you can answer that question, yes, I am, then your soul is going to calm down. You're going to experience rest. That's just the way it works. That's how God has rigged it to be. So if you're satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, then you could be at rest and at peace in your own soul and in your own mind. Now, the Word of God speaks a lot about this idea of rest. Jesus had an invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." That's a lot of us,
yeah.
Weary and burdened. And what's his promise to those who come to him? He says, "I will give you rest." This is important. Jesus wants you to experience rest. Why? Because good things flow from a place of rest. The Watchman Nee wrote a book a number of years ago called Sit, Walk, Stand. I always thought that was kind of a weird order of how he sequenced that.
Yeah.
But I think it's exactly right. Before we can have a walk in the Christian life, we first need to learn to sit. And we need to learn to sit, to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We need to really say yes to this invitation of coming to Christ and experience rest for our souls. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. So that's the destination God wants to take us. So sin put us in a place of unrest, of restlessness. That's not a good place to be. And so God has another destination for us. That destination flows through the cross of Jesus Christ. As we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're going to experience this rest that God promised for us. So are you satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on God's on our behalf?
Yeah.
And if so, you are ready to sit down with Jesus Christ. Now, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, the fact that once Jesus Christ offered his sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And there's a reason he did that, and we're going to get to that in just a second.
Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for that. You know, friends, Fridays here at Basic Gospel, we're able to offer some focused, in-depth teaching on the new covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. And these sessions, we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and we hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing. If you miss any of the weekly sessions along the way, visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there for you and for anyone you'd like to share them with, and we hope you'll do that. If you don't have a copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book, as a matter of fact, directly off the archive page. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, before we get back to our study, just a quick note that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your ongoing support to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. And we want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel by sending you a copy of a new resource by Bob Christopher. It's called Jesus, a 30-day devotional, a deep and fresh look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. Request your copy when you make your January gift at basicgospel.net. Now back to our study, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So this next section we're going to look at is titled, He Sat Down. And if you're satisfied with the work of Christ on your behalf, you've taken the first step to experiencing this rest. But if you're still struggling, I think this particular section will provide you some further proof on why it's important for you to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Hebrews, and particularly Hebrews chapter 10, the writer draws some stark contrast between the sacrifices of the Old Covenant and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the Old Covenant, they sacrificed daily. They brought all kinds of things to the temple. Those animals were sacrificed. They also brought grain offerings and all sorts of things as sacrifices to help cleanse them, to purify them. And then there was this one day of the year called the Day of Atonement, where a sacrifice of a bull was made for the sins of the high priest, and then a goat was sacrificed, and that blood was carried into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Now, the writer of Hebrews looks at all of those, and he says, here's kind of the reality of what those could do, what those couldn't do, and then he draws a stark contrast to what Jesus Christ did. So back in the Old Covenant, it was the priests that made those sacrifices. They were the ones in charge of the religious life of the people and of the sacrificial system. So they were stewards of the sacrificial system. Well, in Hebrews 10, verse 11, we read this, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Yeah. So they stood. So that's our first question. According to this passage, Hebrews 10:11, how did the Levites perform their religious duties? Well, they stood daily at their service. As a matter of fact, a chair was not in the temple. It was a prohibitive piece of furniture. Why? Because their job was never done. Now, how often did they carry out these duties? Well, it says daily. Day after day after day, they stood to carry out their duties. Now, were the sacrifices they offered successful in taking away the sins of the people? Well, it's very clear that no, they weren't. They were repeated day after day, but they could never take away sins. He talked about that in verse 4 of this chapter, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Why? That sacrifice wasn't of sufficient value to take away our sins.
Right.
So animals being sacrificed to take away the sins of people that were created in the image of God, it's not an equal pairing.
No.
And so we needed a sacrifice that was of greater value, that was of more worth. And that sacrifice came through the blood of Jesus. So, you know, if you were born a Levite, you were born into that bloodline, it was going to be your duty at some point when you reached a certain age to take up your turn in the temple. And guess what that meant? Doing a job that couldn't carry out the purpose. It foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but it could never provide real forgiveness, lasting forgiveness to the people. So how would you like to have that job, knowing that as often as you did it, it still wasn't enough? And because of that, you could never sit down. You had to continue to stand day after day after day to do your duties. Now, in contrast to that, we're going to see something just amazing as far as the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews chapter 1, and we've read this passage a number of times, but it's worth reading again. It's Hebrews 1, verse 3. It says this: He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So this is the one that offered up himself as the sacrifice to take away the sins of the people. So you can see that his blood is going to be of much greater value, infinite value, compared to the blood of bulls and goats.
Yeah.
And it says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So what did Jesus do after he provided purification for sins? He sat down. Well, why do you think he sat down? Well, his sacrifice was sufficient to take away sins. That's why he sat down. The priests couldn't do it because the sacrifices they made, the sacrifices they offered, couldn't take away the sins of the people.
Yeah.
But Jesus' sacrifice took away the sins of the people once and for all. Now, that's good news.
Yeah.
That is really, really good news. So the Levites, they stood day after day. Jesus offered himself once and for all. And after he did, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Now, when it comes to the sin issue, is there a need for Jesus to get up from his seated position? And the answer to that is absolutely not. And the reference we use there is Hebrews 7:27. He has no need, like those other high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself.
Yeah.
So for 1,500 years, basically, the Levitical priesthood was doing its task. They were serving at first in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And, you know, one generation would come and then it would pass on to the next and then pass on to the next and then pass on to the next, all the way down until the time of Jesus, until the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D. Well, right at the end of that, Jesus enters the scene. He is the perfect Lamb of God, unblemished, spotless. He has inhabited a body that God had prepared for him, and he offered that body one time for all sin.
Yeah.
So 1,500 years of sacrifices condensed down to one sacrifice by Jesus Christ himself. So what did Christ offer? He offered himself. Verse 12 of chapter 10, he says this. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So what did Christ offer? A single one. Got it? Just one.
Just one.
One sacrifice for all sins. And when he made that one sacrifice, he sat down. Now, what time frame did Christ's sacrifice cover? All time, from the beginning to the end, and everywhere in between. His sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, was big enough to take away the sins of the world. And so once he offered himself as final and complete payment for sin, what did he do? Well, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. What does this mean to you in regard to all your efforts to appease God and turn aside his wrath? Well, they're futile. They're useless. Yeah. Only Jesus Christ could do that. Only Christ could take away the sins of the world. And guess what, folks? That's exactly what he did. He took away your sins. I know many people go to bed at night and they fret over what they've done that day, or maybe they fret over something that they've done many years ago. It haunts them. It stirs up, bubbles up all kinds of feelings of guilt, all kinds of feelings of shame, all kinds of feelings of just all sorts of bad stuff. And we try to do things in order to alleviate, assuage the guilt. And we make sacrifices. We make promises. We make vows to do better, to be better, to just become a better version of ourselves, all in hopes of pushing punishment down the road, keeping it away from us right now. Well, folks, it's not going to work. It's not going to make a difference as far as your sins are concerned and what your sins deserved. What made a difference was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Just like the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sins of the people, whatever work that you're trying to offer to God, whatever sacrifice that you're trying to make to God to take away your sins, isn't going to work either. You're going to continue to stand day after day after day doing whatever you think is necessary to take away those sins. And what does that mean for you? It means perpetual restlessness. Yeah. It means an uneasy soul. It means walking on spiritual eggshells. That's what it means if you are continuing to offer your own sacrifices in order to appease God, in order to take away your sins so that you can feel forgiven. Your sacrifices, just like the sacrifices in the old covenant, will not work. They are not sufficient to take away your sins. That's why Jesus had to come. He died. He took away your sins once and for all. So what does it mean for you to fully trust in Christ's work, to fully be satisfied with Christ's sacrifice on your behalf? Well, it means that you have entered a place of rest. And that's exactly what God wants for you. In verse 10 of Hebrews 4, it says, "Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." So we see that in creation, God created for 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. That's significant. Why? Because you and I were created on the sixth day. So our first experience with God, our first interaction with God, was from a place of rest. God resting, us resting in what he had done. That's how it started out. That's how you and I, that's how humanity started out. Sin made a mockery of that and brought in restlessness. And all of us have lived with that restlessness until we enter God's rest through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So the message is clear. The message is strong. Jesus sat down because his work was finished. He accomplished everything the Father sent him to accomplish. He satisfied the justice and holiness of God. He satisfied his Father once and for all. He successfully turned aside the wrath of God. So rejoice, be grateful, and sit down with Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Just crawl up in his lap and enjoy that place of rest today, tomorrow, and forever. He secured that place of rest for you. He did it once, and there's nothing more that needs to be done as far as your sins are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, you're listening to a study edition of Basic Gospel as Bob Christopher is teaching through the study guide based on his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, we want to invite you to join Bob online Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live. That's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central on Facebook or YouTube. You'll find links to both platforms at the top of the page at basicgospel.net. That's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. I hope you'll join him. You're listening to Basic Gospel, everybody, and we continue now with Bob with the closing thoughts on this edition of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the things that we all want in life is proof that our sins have been forgiven. And we really think of in terms of proof as a feeling. I'm going to feel forgiven. I'm going to feel close to God. I'm going to feel right and all of those sort of things. Well, those feelings don't necessarily come. And I was certainly looking for those feelings. And that was the one of the things that got to me. I did all of just as what I thought I was supposed to do in order to get God to turn around and look at me again, to appease him, to get some type of forgiveness. But I never felt forgiven.
Yeah.
And so I kept looking for a feeling. I kept looking for a feeling. Well, God gives us proof in a different direction, and it's called righteousness. If you want proof that your sins have been forgiven, look at the gift of righteousness. God would never have given you the gift of righteousness if your sins hadn't been taken care of once and for all. So we read last week in Romans chapter 3 that God is both just and the justifier. He didn't sweep your sins under a carpet. He didn't wink at them. He didn't turn his back on them. No, he dealt with them once and for all. And in exchange for that, Jesus took your sins upon himself, and he gave you his righteousness. So we see that in Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, not by something that he did, but as a gift. And that's the same for you and for me. God justifies us freely by his grace. Well, that is proof that your sins have been forgiven once and for all. The fact that you have been declared righteous in the sight of God. Well, what does that mean for you? It means you are at peace with God. It means there's no condemnation for you. It means rest.
It means rest.
Rest, yes. In the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Bob, thanks for those great thoughts and for teaching through the study guide. What a wonderful lesson this has been. And friends, we're glad that you were here to take part in it. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of Bob's new resource that will guide you into a deep and fresh look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, and we want you to have a copy of it. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Have a great weekend, stay safe, and we'll see you on Monday for Basic Gospel.